Welcome to Balancing Acts, the show for entrepreneurs who want to build a business that actually supports their life. And I'm Linda Hamilton, your host for today. I'm a CPA and an exit planning coach. And today we're going to talk about financial harmony, what it looks like when your money systems support your life instead of stealing it. My guest is Aldiva Ali Rubalcava, founder of FICO Diva. Aldiva's Financial Solutions. Aldiva's a leader in credit education, IRS tax resolution, and small business support. She's been recognized nationally, including Businesswoman of the Year honor, and she's built her work around giving people a hand up, not a lecture. Ali, welcome. Let's get into the real balancing act, which is building wealth and building a life. Let's talk about first, before people knew you as FICO Diva, walk us through your journey. What did your day-to-day look like from your contractor years?
So thank you. My name is Aldiva. I do go by Ali for short, and I was actually one of the few licensed female contractors in the state of California for 15 years. I specialized in kitchen and bath remodels. We did flooring, countertops. I had my own granite fabrication shop, was importing in slabs from Brazil. God, from everywhere, all over the place. I even traveled to Brazil to go look at quarries, which was so cool and so fun. So I really have a deep passion for construction. Even today, I can read a blueprint like no other, and I enjoy construction. Being a female in a man's world was interesting in the beginning because you have to earn their trust because they don't think that we should know what we know. But once you prove to them that you know what you know, then the men start relying on you for a lot of things. So the shift of things was really interesting and fun. But yeah.
So your contractor years was also as an entrepreneur, right? As well as your financial advice. That's quite a transition from contractor to IRS resolution in particular. So how did that journey work? How did you get there?
So that's a really good question. So, those of you who were around in 2008, remember when the housing crisis happened and my business went from making a lot of money to hardly any money. And so it was a struggle, and I tried to pivot until 2010. And eventually, I myself had to file bankruptcy because sometimes as an entrepreneur, life takes you there. And so after I filed bankruptcy, I tried starting up another construction company again, but I moved to the Central Valley. And back then, especially in 2012, a lot of people would say, "Oh, well, my cousin can do it for a six pack, or my friends can do it for a 12 pack." I'm like, "Well, I have overhead and I can't work for a 12 pack or a six pack. I need to get paid." So from there, I began looking into what do I already know how to do that I can help people with? Well, I've been doing fine being an only child, parents don't speak English, only Portuguese. I've been doing financing since I was 8 years old. So I began looking into the credit repair space and I started my credit repair journey. With credit repair, that started in 2015. And I was working full time as a project manager for a construction company. I was doing all of the field measurements and the design layout for cabinets and everything, going to schools and naval air stations and all that fun stuff. So fun jobs. And then I was meeting with my credit repair clients after work. So I was literally working 12, 13-hour days. And finally, in 2017, December 21st, I quit my full-time job and I pivoted full-time into my current business. And I've hit my 10-year mark last November. And this year will be our 11th year in business. So that's how it all shifted.
Well, congratulations, because I think 50% of businesses fail after 5 years, and not many make it to 10 years. So congratulations. That's a wonderful milestone, I think, that a lot of our listeners would also like. So let's switch a little to your current business. And credit repair is so important. And entrepreneurs do get into trouble. Oftentimes they're building something successful, but they don't always stop to ask if it's sustainable. How's the money coming in? They think they have a profit, but they have no cash flow. Or they have some cash flow because they got deposits up front, but they aren't really making a profit. They owe people money. What are some warning signs, early warning signs, that somebody's kind of hustling a little too much and avoiding facing a money problem in their business, especially in the early years?
So, and that's a wonderful question because I have this conversation with entrepreneurs every day because I also form LLCs and corporations, and so I'm always setting them up for success, not setting them up for failure. Excuse me, I don't know where that came from. The biggest thing I see, biggest mistake I see, is our entrepreneurs are so focused on the income, they're not focused on what goes out. So they're so focused on, I made $1,000 today, but they're not focused on, I need to make payroll. I need to pay my workman's comp. I need to pay my general liability. I need to buy supplies. I need to put gas in the car. I need to rent machinery. I need to do this, do that. So they're so focused on, I made $1,000 today. They're not focused on, okay, with these $1,000, I need to pay this, 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 and this. So now I only have this left over. And as entrepreneurs, especially young, fresh entrepreneurs, you need to do your bookkeeping. Okay. If you don't know how to do QuickBooks, I teach you how to do QuickBooks. We also do business bookkeeping too. But if you're not ready for that because it is an additional monthly subscription, you can also use Excel. I give all of my new businesses an income and expense book, and I teach them. Write all of your income here, write all of your expenses here, so you can see daily what came in, what went out. Our biggest problem as entrepreneurs today, and I'm going to be very honest, is our debit cards and our credit cards
Yes.
because they're mindless spending. It's so easy to swipe that card. Oh, I checked my account. I have $1,000 in there right now. Great. I can go to the store and I can swipe my card for $8.99. Well, how much is left over? But as entrepreneurs, we don't think that now we have $101 left over. We're still focused on the $1,000 that we just saw.
Right.
And that's the biggest issue.
And something I also see in my 38 years as a CPA, it's not just the credit card, but now being able to shop online, how easy is that? You don't even have to go to the store besides press the button and charge and the auto subscriptions, auto renew type things. But when you look at some of the struggles entrepreneurs have, maybe they don't have a budget and they're often they're intimidated by asking questions. I think many times I find, I want to make it comfortable to empower business owners to be able to ask. And it sounds like that is how you work with your practice. So, how is it if an entrepreneur is listening now and they feel behind on things, they're really struggling? What's some maybe a stabilizing move? What can they do to get started? And also, how can they get in touch with you?
Yeah, so honestly, the worst question you can ever ask is the one that's in your mind and you refuse to ask it. Because it's okay to ask, it's okay to research, it's okay to get someone else's opinion or input, it's okay to get told no, because the word no doesn't mean stop. NO means new opportunity. Just because someone says no to you, you now need to pivot and find that new opportunity. Don't let that one no be your discouragement. Let it be your encouragement. And
That's great.
so being
That's great
afraid,
advice. Thank you.
thank you. But being afraid to open up and ask a question, that's what's holding you back.
Yes.
Because you need to be willing to ask those questions so you can learn. And if you don't like someone's answer or if someone's rude to you, hey, move on to the next person. Don't be afraid.
No, that's that. I always tell people when I teach my workshops in financial fluency, what you don't, we don't know what we don't know. And that's true for both of us as experts, right? We're always continuously learning and figuring out things, and there's new challenges every day. So I'm glad that you're telling people don't be embarrassed by that. And if somebody's rude and can't help you, that's just maybe the wrong person. So how can they find you? Get in touch with you, learn more about your services.
So our website is FICO, FICODiva.com. Our phone number is 559-372-2823. You can also text us at 559-744-4011. And we are a trilingual company. We speak Spanish and Portuguese. And yeah, that's the best way. You can also email me at Ali, which is Ali, at FICODiva.com. But going onto our website, clicking on Contact Us Now, that's a great start as well.
And Aldiva provides such a valuable service. I think so many business owners I see, they're building something successful, but they don't always stop and see if it's sustainable. Up next, we're going to talk about practical things like credit, your cash flow, some paperwork decisions that kind of you're quiet about and you just maybe put off making. So stay with us. When we come back, Aldiva's going to share lots of information with you on credit repair and financial decision making. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Hello. I hope you enjoyed listening to our first segment. If you want more episodes like this, you can watch Now Media Live or on demand anytime. You can download it on Now Media TV on Roku or Apple for nonstop bilingual programming in English and Spanish. If you prefer podcasts, you can listen at nowmedia.tv. So welcome back to Balancing Acts. I'm here with Aldiva Ali Rubalcava, and we're shifting into the business side of balance because nothing wrecks peace faster than unstable credit decisions and cash flow surprises. And we want to turn credit from anxiety into strategy. And let's face it, when you have problems in your business, financial problems, you often take that home, right? That it can affect your relationships. It can affect so much of your life. So this is a great segment, I think, for those of you who want to work on improving credit. So when an entrepreneur says, "My credit is fine," are there any hidden landmines you see most? Like whether they're using their credit properly, whether they have some collections, even identity theft, which is just so massive for us today. What would you say to an entrepreneur?
Number one, check your credit because a lot of people are so focused on apps, they're not focused on all three credit bureaus and all three credit reporting agencies. And I say that because as an entrepreneur, if you're a sole proprietor, everything is based around your name, your social for your business. If you're an LLC, S Corp, or C Corp, everything is based around your entity and your EIN number. And so business credit and personal credit do not mix. They're two completely separate entities. But if you are a sole proprietor, sometimes people say, "Well, Ali, I'm a sole proprietor and I have an EIN number." Great. It's still tied to your name and your social. It's not tied to your name and your EIN. And everything that you do on the business level will be reported and reflected on your personal credit. Why is this a problem? When you have a business credit card that's tied to your personal credit, if you max out that card, you yourself will drop your scores 80 to 120 points. Okay. When you are an LLC, S Corp, or C Corp, and you have business credit, they want you to max out your card. It does not reflect on your personal credit, and it keeps things completely separated from you. So that's the biggest thing is that your personal credit, if you are a sole proprietor, gets impacted by your business decisions. Your business credit as an LLC, S Corp or C Corp gets reported to a completely separate reporting platform than your personal credit. So if you already have an LLC, S Corp, C Corp, have an EIN, you've already established credit, you want to know where you stand, you can actually go to experianbusiness.com and also Dun & Bradstreet. Run those reports, see what's happening, see how your vendors are reporting you. Are they reporting you 30 days late? Are they not? Are they reporting you always paying on time? You know, you need to know these things. Now, with a personal credit score, a perfect score is an 850. Some of you might say, well, Allie, I have a 900. You sure do with a Vantage score, but your FICO score only goes up to 850. So keep that in mind. Okay. Now, when it comes to business credit, a perfect credit score is an 80. So personal credit, 850. Business credit is a paid index score of 80. So keep that in mind as well, because if your numbers are down in the 50s, 40s, 60s, think of you being in a DF category in school when you were back in school. An 80 is an A plus. So when you think about these things, it makes a big difference. And understanding the difference between your business score and your credit and your personal credit score, and understanding the difference between your personal credit and your business credit, can make or break a deal.
So you mentioned Dun & Bradstreet and some of these scores, and actually I learned something new thinking of that, those two different scores. But like, you know, a lot of my clients have, let's say, corporate Amex cards, and they've been using them for, you know, decades. Are those tied automatically to your personal credit score as well?
If they are a sole proprietor.
But not if they, well, you could have be a single member LLC. Is that different than a
different
person LLC?
Yes. So a single member LLC and a multi-member LLC is still an LLC with an EIN entity. And it would still be reflected on their business credit. Where American Express gets you. And I love you, American Express, by the way, because you're one of my favorite cards. But where they get you is that they make you personally guarantee everything. They make you personally guarantee the debt. So what does that mean? If your business fails and closes, they can come after you personally for that business debt.
So it's important to know that. And Dun & Bradstreet, which is that a paid service to be able to get that, or is it free to be able to get reports?
So you can get your own Dun & Bradstreet number for free, but in order to have the credit monitoring and look, it is a paid subscription. I think it's $35, but don't quote me. Okay. And I think Experian Business is $89, but again, don't quote me because I haven't looked to see if they've upped their numbers or where they currently stand.
Yeah, and so that's interesting to know that people should maybe get look at all three credit reports, because they can sometimes be different. And I'll tell you something else I saw on a credit report, and this was even on mine, where I had purchased some things in another state where my family was, and suddenly it was showing another address for me. I had never lived at that address. I think I had co-signed something for one of my nieces. So it's hard to change this stuff once it gets on paper, isn't it?
You can challenge the addresses. You can actually call the bureaus and say, hey, you're reporting this address. I've never lived there. But you just said the key word. You co-signed for your niece. Therefore, that address is linked to your credit profile because of that co-signing.
Interesting. So all these things are very can be very complicated, and why some of our listeners should reach out to an expert like you to understand. I mean, the first thing is awareness, right? Being aware of how these things affect you and how they can affect your financial decisions, and how lenders or suppliers may issue credit to you. Walk me through your, like you do a consultation with people. What are the top three things you look for in a credit profile before you recommend a next step?
Number one is I look to see how old your debt is. I look to see, are you currently behind on payments? Because if you're currently behind on payments, I won't take you on as a client because I rather you bring those accounts current and then come back to me than you paying me while you're currently behind on payments. And the reason that's important is, let's say that you start the credit repair journey. I sign you up because I don't care and I just want your money because I'm not that kind of person, but I'm just saying because I've seen people out there that do that. But you're currently behind on your current debts. As you're paying me to fix your credit and you're still behind on your debts, you're working against me because nothing I do is going to help increase your scores. So why would any company take you on when you're currently behind? That money should go towards your current debt first, and then you start up with a company. If someone takes you on when you're currently behind, be suspicious. Question that, because that tells me that they're looking out for themselves and not for you. Another thing I look at is how old are your debts? And this is state specific. So in California, debts are only legally collectible, and I'm talking about collections, charge-offs, not current debt. Debts are only legally collectible for 4 years from date of last payment. In Texas, it's also 4 years. In Florida, it's 5 years. In Wyoming, it's 10 years. So each state has their own statute of limitations. That's one thing I want you to look up. What are the statute of limitations in my state for debt collection? The reason why that's important is sometimes people will advise you to pay off time-barred debt. Why would you gift away your money to time-barred debt? Now, let's say that the account is still legally collectible, it's still within the statute of limitations. We have some red flag creditors. I'm not going to name names, but there are some creditors that if you owe them $1,200 or more, it's a guaranteed lawsuit. There's two creditors in particular, if you owe them $300 or more, it's a guaranteed lawsuit. There's other ones where their threshold's 2,500, 2,800. So once I see these debts and I see that they're red flag creditors, I'm going to tell you, let's not challenge them. Let's work on doing a settlement offer with them, unless you were a victim of identity theft. Now, if you're a victim of identity theft, that's a completely different subject. We need to have a police report. We need to have an identity theft affidavit filed, and then we can go after all of those accounts that you were victims of and get them removed from your credit report without you having to pay them.
That's
But
really important. We're coming close to the top of our break. I think, again, I learned so much from listening to you. And anyone in the audience who maybe needs an education and some of the warnings that Aldiva shared with you, please share your website so they can start with their education and maybe get in touch with you if they need a consultation on some of these things, which from statute of limitations to understanding your different state laws, so important. How can people find you?
Yes, yeah, so go to FICO, FICO, Diva, DIVA.com, FICODiva.com. Give us a call, 559-372-2823. Give us a text, 559-744-4011. And just reach out to us. Keep in mind, we are in Pacific Standard Time. So if you schedule a 5 p.m. appointment and you're in the East Coast, we're going to call you 3 hours earlier. It's a different time zone. So, but yeah, we're here to help.
And this is one of those areas where a little clarity up front can really prevent a lot of expensive decisions and problems later. So get that education. Coming up next, tax season pressure. We're going to talk about staying compliant and reducing panic and having a strategy. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Balancing Acts. I'm your host, Linda Hamilton, a CPA and exit planning advisor. And I'm talking with Aldiva Ali Rubalcava, who's a certified tax preparer and IRS resolution support. She goes by FICO Diva. So we want to talk about taxes without trauma, having a year-round strategy. If you think about credit, which we just talked about in our last segment, which is kind of a doorway to building a successful business, to be able to grow your business, to be able to have access to capital, well, then taxes are also the foundation because they're often one of your largest expenses, and even profitable businesses can get crushed by poor planning. So, Ali, your firm supports business tax preparation, I think personal tax preparation, and of course, IRS tax resolution. People do get in trouble. So, let's make this real and usable for our audience. So, what are the most common silent mistakes you see in small businesses that create kind of chaos for them? Whether it's, they mix their accounts or messy books. There's just, I also see so many things in business that create problems.
Number one thing is, again, just like Linda said here, messy books, no books at all. You come in and you go, I made $200,000 this year, and these are my expenses, and they're written down on a piece of paper, handwritten. Okay. There's so much missed opportunity there. There's so many things that you paid that you completely forgot about because it's tax season and I need to file my taxes on time. So bleh, here's all my expenses, And there's so many missed opportunities. And what I mean by that is your miles on your car. So many of you aren't even tracking your miles, and you guys are going to job sites, or you're doing events, or you're doing all these things. Many of you aren't looking at how much interest did you pay the previous year for that business use vehicle. Many of you forget your insurance. That's like one of your biggest expenses. Your general liability insurance, your workman's comp, your auto insurance, your healthcare benefits, like all of these things. Office supplies, I see some really low numbers. If you ever rent anything, if you ever travel for business, like there's just so many missed opportunities that because you're in a hurry to file, that you don't even think about putting in. And so I'm someone who I'm like, okay, you gave me this, but in your industry, you typically have this expense, this expense, this expense. Did you have it? Do you have it? If the answer is no, that's fine. But repairs and maintenance to your vehicle, repairs and maintenance to your business, these are things that are really important. So, and they're also something that can reduce your liability. So don't be afraid to do your books. Be afraid not to do your books, because
That's
not
it.
doing proper bookkeeping will hurt you and haunt you and make you pay the government more. I don't know about you. I don't like giving the government a lot of money. But that's just my opinion.
And that, and that is, I think you really hit the nail on the head. The not having books is the worst because you can't remember everything. And so when you have books, one that helps the conversation, it does help to make sure you're saving all your receipts, right, in a separate file. But if you're not having books, you want to talk to somebody to get you started. You can always start. It's never too late to get this going. Let's switch
Yes.
a little to, tax season is very stressful. And when you're stressed about money and you're stressed about these decisions, you do take it home. It really affects your life. And that's what balancing acts is. That is what it's about, right? You want to have your business support your life, not feel like it's running you. You meant you do IRS resolution, which does sound scary. And I have a feeling, some of those things happen in my 30 some years of doing tax work. People are terrified of IRS notices and they don't open the envelopes and they don't even come in to see you right away. I don't know if that's where it starts, but what are the first steps you want people to take before they spiral, before, so they can be a little strategic and not emotional about fixing any tax problems they have?
So let's talk about the avoidance that you just said. Yes, IRS will send you a notice. Yes, IRS now in 2026 is incorporating more AI tools than ever into their system. Yes, IRS is sending out CP10 notices to so many people that like they never sent out before because the AI system is triggering it and sending them out. Those CP10 notices need to be responded to. So if you ignore it, You're now causing yourself issues that could have been resolved simply just by responding. Now, here's something else when it comes to IRS. Be more afraid of not catching up on your taxes. And this is why I say this. I've had clients who have received IRS notices saying that they owe $50,000, $60,000. Let's just throw a number out there. Why do they owe that money? You're like, well, I haven't filed my taxes. Why do I owe the money? You need to know every 1099 you receive, every W-2 you receive, every 1099-K you receive gets reported to the IRS. And because you failed to file your taxes, you're not getting your standard deduction, you're not getting your dependents, you're not getting all these things that could have reduced your tax debt. The IRS is saying they made all this money, so now they owe us all this money because they didn't do their taxes, including late fees, including penalties. Okay. Sometimes when we do your taxes and we catch you up, that debt goes away because you were really owed a refund. Okay. So you probably don't even owe that money. But because you ignored it, the IRS assumes that you owe it because you ignored it. So be more afraid of not doing your taxes than to do them. You know, Linda is a licensed CPA. I do taxes. Like anyone that you're comfortable with who asks the right questions can help you guys navigate through this. But avoiding it, that's a bigger issue. Now, one thing that I want you to know also is let's say we catch you up on your taxes and you end up owing. Instead of you owing $50,000, $60,000, maybe you really owed 5 grand, right? And that's of course going to come with late fees and penalties because you filed late. But you can go on a payment plan. So IRS will take your debt, divide it by 72, and give you 6 years to pay it. IRS also has a statute of limitations of 10 years, but it's from the date of assessment. So sometimes they can assess those taxes 3 years later, and now it's going to be 13 years that you owe that debt because you ignored it. Or let's say you just filed your taxes today and it's taxes from 2020 and you owed. Well, now there's the 10-year mark. Okay. So you might qualify for an offer and compromise depending on your debt, depending on your situation.
So let's talk about that for a moment. And I think one issue is, dealing with these things before it gets to collections, because collections, they got one job, and that's to collect. And
Yes.
if you want to set up a payment plan, as you mentioned, you do help people with this. So don't be afraid. Contact someone, at least have one consult so that you know how to approach it. But let's talk about what you mentioned, offer and compromise. Let's say someone has, and we don't have a lot of time to go into this, but the basics of understanding when someone should reach out to you, let's say what amount of money they owe, what is the time they should reach out if it's already kind of gone too far?
So that's a good question. I really think it depends on the balance too, because I've had people say, "Allie, I owe 10 grand. Can I do an offer and compromise?" I don't think you should at that time because 10 grand is easily paid back within a 6 year period. I think you should do it more when you owe 50 grand or more. And the reason why is once you do an offer and compromise and it's accepted for the next 5 years, you cannot be late with your taxes. If you owe money, you have to pay it up front and on time. They will not do a payment plan. And if you default in those next 5 years, they can come back and re-add everything that they forgave. So an offer and compromise is not a joke. It's a form of relief, but you need to take it seriously. Okay.
And that's
Another
when people
thing.
are actually, the IRS is agreeing to take less money than the outstanding debt, right? On
Yes.
the offer and compromise. So they're giving you a deal and you can't mess up on it. What would you say is, we have a little bit of time left. What is, we talked about a year-round strategy. How do they kind of keep things okay and on an even keel, stabilized, so to speak, throughout the year? What is one thing you could recommend to a business owner listening? They owe estimated taxes, they don't pay them. So many I see get in, they fall behind, and if fall behind one year, you can catch up, but then you fall behind the second year and the third year. What's one thing you would recommend to keep them kind of on a straight path of handling taxes?
So here's what I always recommend is get yourself a money market savings account. I love money market savings account because they don't give you that one penny a month of interest. They give you, depending on your bank, I've seen like 3.75% interest, things like that. Take your estimated payments, divide them by 12, and deposit that money into that account every month. Don't get a debit card access to that account and don't allow balance transfers into that account. Why? Because it's sitting there looking pretty, and you're like, oh, I'm really tight this month. I'm going to pull from this fund. No, that's a no-no fund. That's a fund that goes straight towards your taxes. Same thing with sales taxes. If you're in a sales tax state, the money that you collect is not yours, it belongs to that state. So every night when you batch out, transfer that money into that account and don't touch it
This is
because.
so important. We're at the top of our segment, and I think I'm going to come back to this on the next segment when we go on, because that was perfect advice on handling that. Thank you. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about, well, I think we'll wrap up a little more on taxes, and then maybe talk about your success and in your business, and maybe your community impact of running a successful business. Thank you so much. Stay with us. Aldiva, we'll be right back. Welcome back to Balancing Acts. If you love what you're watching, you can catch Balancing Acts every week and all other Now Media TV shows on nowmedia.tv podcasts, or you can download the free app on Roku or Apple. And all of our shows are bilingual in English and in Spanish. We're talking with Aldiva Rubalcava, the FICO diva. Last segment, we had a great conversation about taxes, not just about how to pay them, but what happens when you fall behind. And I want to go back to that a little, because Aldiva had a great recommendation for how to set aside money for the government, and that would be IRS and states. Aldiva, let's go back to that. You were talking about a separate account, how people can manage to have a tax strategy for year-end so they don't fall behind, which is so common. You fall 1 year, 2 years, you can keep falling behind. So let's go back to what you were saying, the money market and other ways to plan for taxes.
I think the main thing is that people, they fall into the trap of the money sitting there. So I'm going to borrow from it right now so I can get through this hurdle. Then when I get paid, I'm going to replenish it. And then they don't. That's the reality is they don't, because then something else happened, something else presented itself. And that's the spiral that we keep getting into. So where we need to change our mindset is that that money is not ours. We collected it, but it's not ours. So once we change our mindset and our perspective on that, and kind of our little entitlement to that money per se, then we can realize like, I need to put this aside because this isn't mine and I'm going to have to pay it anyways. And get out of that trap of, well, it came in because again, we're focused on our gross, we're focused on our income, but we need to remember that that money needs to be put aside because that piece of the pie does not belong to us. So overcoming that is a big obstacle for many people.
Yeah, so true, so true. And I think, when it comes to money and you have a business account, some people mix their personal expenses in with their business. And, because you pay taxes quarterly or maybe at the year end, you forget about them. and they add up. So you bring in $1,000, and as you said, it's not your money. You kind of, the government is asking you to be their agent. It's a shame they don't reimburse us for the for being their agent, but they don't. So we do have to pay them their share. That gets into this whole our conversation in all of these segments. We're about money, whether you're getting in trouble with credit, making financial decisions. So taxes is are a large chunk of it, but what about other things? If businesses need credit because they're short paying their employees, or they need suppliers and the suppliers won't give them the credit, what are some strategies they can do to start to get caught up and to but maybe build slowly over time so that they don't run out of money?
So getting a person, getting a business line of credit is always a really good strategy because you can borrow it and then you pay it back. And then that way it kind of keeps the cash flow moving as you need it to. Because sometimes maybe you don't get a job for two weeks or 2 months, and so and your employees are still working and things like that. But you need to allocate for that. Also, when you take on a job, or when you have clients, make sure that their deposit is going to cover that expense to buy materials. In California, you have to be careful. You can, if you're a licensed contractor, you can only charge $1,000 or 10%, whichever is less of the job up front. But you can get a material deposit as soon as the material lands at the job site. So get that deposit, pay off that debt. So there's these things that people don't think about. They're so focused on, I need to have the best price. No, honey, you need to have the best value for your services because not all money is good money. And I really want you as entrepreneurs to put that in your mind. Not all money is good money. And I say that because if a client's a red flag in the beginning, they're going to be a red flag to your entire project. The entire time you're dealing with them. So, was it worth it? And only you can answer that. To me, I smell a red flag and I'm like, you can go work with someone else,
So all
because.
money is not good money. I love that. Not all money is good money. So customers who aren't paying you on time or are really stringing you along or complaining about everything and then wanting a discount, right? There's
Correct.
there are lots of flags. But what if you're already into a contract with that client? You can't get out of it. You still have to be able to manage your financial decisions. What you were just talking about with deposits. I think that's a little like taxes where money comes in, but it's really earmarked for something else. And if you're not tracking things, you may forget that that money is promised because you needed to take a withdrawal or pay yourself something because you also need money personally. So how can people separate that part? The money they you talked about setting aside money for taxes. What about setting money aside to pay yourself?
So that's one thing. If you are an LLC, single member or multi-member, you cannot be on payroll. You have to do an owner's draw. But what if you ever are an LLC and you decide to do an S corp election with your LLC? Now you have to be on payroll. And a conversation I have with my clients all the time is, what is a livable wage, right? So I want you to take all of your mortgage, your rent, all of your utilities, your insurance, your yard work, your pool boy, like every single thing you pay for every month, your food, your entertainment, whatever it is. Multiply that by 12, well, actually figure out what it is, and then add the payroll taxes to that amount, and that needs to be your paycheck. Because that's your livable wage. Because no matter what, you're paying those expenses anyways. So why shouldn't that be your W-2? And you're like, well, I don't want to pay payroll taxes. But you need to, because guess what? Payroll taxes is an additional write-off for your business. So, and because you're already prepaying payroll taxes on your W-2, You're lowering your taxable debt to the government. So don't be afraid of payroll. Be motivated by payroll. Unfortunately, I wish our LLC members were allowed to be on payroll, but unless you're ready to form to do an S Corp election through your LLC, you have to do an owner's draw. But again, how much should your owner's draw be? Well, how much do you need to live? Because no matter what, that money's going to come out of the account anyways, because you have to live.
And estimates whether you pay through payroll, it's just like paying on account. And in some ways
Exactly.
it gives you some discipline over not, but you actually can make estimated payments earlier. Like if you're worried about that money you set in that money market and you're tempted to touch it when you need to take things out, you could just set up that online account and just give it to the IRS and pay it in advance. You know you're going to owe it, and that will just make your life. It will simplify things, I think. So,
And the benefit of those payroll, of those estimated payroll taxes, is you're prepaying throughout the year so that at the end of the year you don't have to pay so much.
right.
So everything is geared to lower your tax liability. And let's say that you overpaid your estimated payroll taxes, you're going to get a refund.
Yes.
So
Or it
don't be
covers the
afraid.
first, or it covers the first quarter.
Yeah.
Payment if you want. So let's talk about, taxes. We have a little more than about 2 minutes left. April 15th is coming. A
Yes.
lot of tax returns are due. A lot of people haven't even started, especially I have a feeling people who maybe don't have books or are doing things in Excel are even less ready because they're always scurrying. What's your recommendation to people who have not yet gone in to see their accountant or their bookkeeper isn't ready? What can they do to kind of get a little started on getting through April 15th? Because you don't get an extension for paying your taxes. You only get an extension for filing the form.
Right. And so I do recommend filing extensions just because it will give you until September 15 if you're a multi-member LLC, an S Corp or a C Corp, and it'll give you until October 15 if you are a an individual or a sole proprietor or a single member LLC. But again, it does not stop you from owing and incurring those late fees and penalties if you end up owing. So get with your bookkeeper, how to get your bank reconciliations done. If that's a strange word to you, it's because you're not doing your bookkeeping, but you need to get that done. If you even you whenever you file an extension, you can pay an estimated tax fee. So if you know that every year you owe 5 grand, pay the 5 grand when you file your extension and already be done with that. Then when you file your taxes, you already prepaid that amount that won't incur late fees and penalties. And if you didn't owe it, they'll send it back. So don't be afraid of owing. Be more afraid of not doing what you need to do.
I think that also is excellent advice in managing your money and your taxes. How can people find you online to learn more, whether it's through education or the services you provide?
Yeah, so again, it's FICO Diva, FICODIVA.com. Phone number 559-372-2823. You can text us at 559-744-4011. Trilingual company, speaks Spanish and Portuguese, and we're here to help.
Thank you so much for sharing your insights and expertise with us. At the end of the day, it's not about doing more. It's about making smarter financial decisions and kind of keeping up with things and not letting everything fall behind so that your business is not controlling your life. Join us again next week for another episode of Balancing Acts. See you then.